And welcome. It is Frankie Boyer, and joining me, I always enjoy our time together, Patricia Gentile, who really is, she is an attorney that has been so instrumental for so many of us with laws, with the IRS, because she's also a CPA. And so she has one of the distinctions of being one of the few CPAs slash lawyers in the country. Not too many of you around, Patricia.
No, I believe the last statistic I heard of the the attorney CPA combination is 10% in the United States.
Yeah, it's very small. And you have been guiding us and giving us tips and beware of scammers and how to deal with the IRS. And we have rights that many people never knew. I mean, you've just been educating us for years and years on the Frankie Boyer Show. And you have your own podcast. Tell us about this.
Oh, thank you. My podcast is Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems. It is for the tax professional, specifically the enrolled agents and the CPAs who would like to help their clients with their tax problems, solve their tax problems. That's we're always going for the solution and the resolution, and making sure that we're defending their rights at the same time, which you need to do and advocate for them when you're working with any of the IRS agents, anywhere from revenue officers, revenue agents or the auditors, appeals, offering compromise examiners. There's just so many different types of agents and agencies or departments that you could have to speak with as a power of attorney representative on behalf of your client. And you have to know how to work with them. You have to know the rules and around what it is that you're trying to negotiate and propose for your clients. And you have to know your client's rights right from the start, because even these IRS employees don't know how much you know. Mm-hmm. And so they'll try and pull things on you, just like they would with the taxpayer. And when you show them what you know, now they
a different
understand.
Game. It's a different ball game.
Yes.
Many of us, to be honest, were not even aware that there was a Bill of Rights for consumers. I mean, I didn't realize that. And when someone gets something from the IRS in the mail, it is daunting. It is, oh my gosh, what happened? And fear sets in, panic sets in, anxiety, you name it. And before you even open the envelope, before you even open the mail, when you see anything from the IRS. And many people are not aware that the IRS very rarely call you, if ever, unless you're working with them and you have a connection in a relationship and you're in the middle of a case. And they won't email you either. Is that true? Is that still true today?
Yes. The IRS will not send a taxpayer an email. That will never happen. They may call a taxpayer who they need to set up and schedule a meeting with, follow up on a correspondence or a notice they've sent ahead of time to let you know who they are and why they're in your life. However, you're better off hiring somebody like myself and the tax professionals that I'm coaching and who are my guests on my podcast that know exactly what the taxpayer's rights are, and also know how to negotiate, what to propose, what the resolution programs are and the requirements for their clients to work with those agents. And so the agents with a proper power of attorney appointment on record by the taxpayer can only send written notice. Phone calls, they can't show up at your door, which if you don't have that power of attorney, they can do that too if you're ignoring their calls and their letters. So I want people to know that, no, they can't email you, but they can, without you having a power of attorney representative such as myself, they can call you on the phone. They can show up at your door. They can show up at your business. And so you don't want to ignore the notices that you're talking about, Frankie. And you're absolutely right, because my God, I can't tell you how many times I had clients come to my office with a stack of unopened IRS letters and notices. And now they've lost their ability, because it's expired, because these notices are expired now, the ability to maybe negotiate, maybe appeal an action, an enforcement collection action, things like that. So open the notices, call a tax professional who's involved in tax resolution, and get the answers you need so that you can sleep at night, and then come up with a plan.
So important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do not put your head in the sand. Are we caught up from COVID, finally, the IRS?
No. In what areas? No. The area specifically that pops in my mind when I say no is the employee retention credit, the ERC. IRS is way behind on processing the ERC, the employee retention credit forms and submissions and applications that employers submitted. We're going on, I believe it might be 3 years coming up this spring, when I actually first was aware of the first applications going in, and they had to put a moratorium or a stop last fall in September of 23, right through to the early beginning of this year, on new processing, new applications, because of the fraud that has been going on in this program. And since then, they've come out with a voluntary disclosure program, where if you feel what you submitted was incorrect, you can come forth and work with them on paying it back. Or they even have a voluntary withdrawal program that you don't even have to speak with them and work with them. You could just withdraw if your application for ERC hasn't even been processed yet. But the refunds are coming very slowly. There are people who have filed legitimately good ERC credit refund applications and qualify year and a half ago that still haven't seen the refunds yet. And that's not fair for businesses at all who were.
No, absolutely not.
Who retained employees.
Before we get ready for a break, how do people find the podcast?
Oh, thank you. You can find me. The easiest find is YouTube, because you could go into YouTube and you can search Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile. I actually am on Apple Podcasts. So if you subscribe to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeart or wherever you subscribe to get your podcasts, just go in to your subscription and search for Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile. We just launched my guest, Steve Glintzner, an attorney from Florida, who had just a wealth of experience and information, and his humor. I love his humor. So it was so much fun as well.
Yeah. And that newest episode is now available. How many have you done so far?
Well, the podcast is new since the spring, and I have launched 10. I'm ready to launch in a couple of weeks, because twice a month, I launch another one. I have another guest that we just recorded, and I have two more guests for the month of December ready in the wings.
So exciting. So exciting and great information, such great information, including, and we will talk about this when we come back. Give all the website how people can find you as well.
Okay.
Please, before we go to break.
Thank you. My website is newenglandtaxrelief.com for taxpayers who would like to get in touch with me if they want to discuss and have a free consultation, phone consultation on a tax problem. My coaching website is Patricia L. Gentile Coaching. And that's for the EAs and the CPAs who'd like to discuss with me as well for a free consultation, maybe a case that they're on, they don't know how to, they're not sure how to handle, or they want to get into the tax resolution business.
Awesome. We'll take a quick break and be right back. It is Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned. And welcome back. And Patricia Gentile is our guest today. Her new podcast, Fighting the Good Fight. And this is very exciting because I've been working with Patricia for years now. And it's very exciting to see you do your own podcast. But I have to ask you a question because it is that time of the year. Years and years ago, we always heard that you could write off this time of the year tips that if you had, you know, a lot of people on the payroll or if you have people that you tip that you can write it off. What is the truth about tips? This is the time of the year.
What do you mean about people on the payroll? What did
that? Well, if you have, you want to, give it an extra bonus to somebody that works for you. I guess it wouldn't be a tip. So bonuses, are they bonuses and tips? Can we write them off is the question.
As the payer, if you're the employer and you want to give Christmas bonuses, end of the year bonuses to your employees, that just is issued like a regular paycheck. And it's going to end up on their W-2, and it's going to be a payroll expense deduction on your business return. The tips that taxpayers are receiving who are in the industry where tips are prevalent, and they're receiving tips, and this is a great time of year for that. I'm sure they're all looking forward to it, whether it's restaurants or whether it's car service or DoorDash or
hairdressers, people that you work with every single month that you have regulars,
even your postal service carrier, your mail person, mail carrier. So how tips happen with, let's just talk about the restaurants. Restaurants are regulated to the employer has to report on all their employees at least 15% their tip that they've taken in through the restaurant, because a lot of people are paying with card and they're including the tip that way versus cash tips directly to the person, the employee
server. Yeah.
And so they're taking 15% of that. And they're distributing that evenly on the employees' W-2s. That's the regulation. The employee themselves are maybe pooling cash tips and distributing it to each other. And technically, there is a form that gets included with your Form 1040, your individual federal income tax return, to report tips. And so technically tips should be reported. I did like, it perked up my ears when I heard a newly elected Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, newly elected, mention on his campaign trail that he was no tax on tips. It perked up my ears because, you know, being a tax professional, I think about No tax on Social Security, no tax on tips. I forgot the other item he mentioned, no tax on. Everything he mentioned, I'm like, that would be great for our citizens, our taxpayers, those specific types of income to be tax exempt. I would love that. I hope Congress would pass a tax act about that. That would be so great because of living on Social Security. Knowing that the tips in your job just adds to your W-2 and that's what you live on. You're not just looking at your wages, but you're thinking about how much you're averaging in tips to the hairdresser.
Right.
Yeah.
So, is there any way that the regular consumer will be able to deduct tips to the doorman, the staff in their in the, where they live or where they work? Is there ever a time when when tips can be deducted?
Only if there's a business purpose. I don't see that ever changing for
Okay.
personal purposes. You're tipping your hairdresser, you're tipping your waiter, your wait staff person, you're tipping, like I said, your postal carrier.
Right, the doorman, the concierge in the building, or whoever, the valet in the
Oh,
building, whatever.
right. In your apartment building. Absolutely. I mean, you could think about all kinds of places that you're tipping. And no, it has to have right now, it has to have a business purpose for the business owner to be able to take an expense for such things. And because they were a part of their purpose for business. And after that, no, not personal. Just know that it's good karma. It should come, that's my belief. It should come
As a
back
former
around.
waitress, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a heavy tipper, and
I
you
am
know,
too.
it just, yeah, I just because I just I know I feel I did it for many years in my college years. That's how I survived, was tip, it was waitressing, and it was always available for me, and yeah,
Same
so
thing for me. I was an undergrad in college, and I used to work every summer wherever the tourist areas were. And waitressing, bartending, and that very much helped me in college
Me
as
too,
well.
absolutely. And by the way, back then we made fabulous tips. I could make $100 a night way back when.
Way back then. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
You have to
Gosh
go
only
where the
knows what the.
tourists are, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in one of the places that I worked, Jimbo's on the waterfront here in
Oh,
Boston.
yeah,
Jimmy's
definitely.
Harborside. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
so fun. It was such a fun atmosphere. He had railroad going around, and we had to wear our railroad uniforms with little cat. I mean, it was just
Really?
so much fun. Oh my
No.
gosh. And everyone was adorable and young, and you know, we were all very thin. It was like he
Oh,
wanted
you
a
weren't
certain.
eating Jimbo's food, or were
I
you?
was absolutely not eating Jimbo's food, but he did offer it to us. But no.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. A lot of
Yeah.
gig workers, a lot of people doing side hustles.
Yes.
They need to pay taxes on those jobs.
Yes. And they're getting that's an industry. Gig workers is an industry. Independent contract is an industry, but gig workers especially boomed during COVID and has become an industry in itself. They're getting 1099'd.
Give us the best website, how people can hear your new podcast and everything else that is with Patricia Gentile.
Thank you. Wherever you subscribe to your podcast or go to YouTube, Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile, please subscribe and listen. My website is NewEnglandTaxRelief.com for both the taxpayer and the tax professionals. Reach out to me there. I do have a coaching website, Patricia L. Gentile Coaching, for the tax pros, and you can reach me at
Awesome.
1-800-880-8388.
Thank you so much, Patricia Gentile. And we'll take a quick break. I'm Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.